Blog Talk Radio.
Tired of the waves that come and knock you off your feet, I'd long to see you on a day when you won't drown. The constant dragon and deceit, your hands been tied in there to greet a life that's bounded to a world that keeps on taking liberty. Maybe you're tired of the strains, the lonely highs, the constant rains that seep right through you on the days you're coming down. Maybe relying on horizons where the skies are filled with diamonds ain't surprising that the love that you have lost is in your mind.
Where we go, we'll take the high.
You're tired of the waves that come and knock you off your feet, I'd long to see you on a day when you won't drown. Maybe the answer lies beneath these scattered words they put our streets, and now the lights without the power flicker on into the night.
We go, we'll take the high.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to A Team of Voices. I'm your host, Crystal Hope, and tonight we are going to be doing some stories of summer. So pretty much anything that could be fictional or a real story, anything that just represents summer. It could be a summer memory or story about summer, and we're going to talk about them, discuss them, have a good time. Go ahead and look into the studio. I should have Deb with me because I see her on the board. Yep, there she is. Hi, Deb.
Hey, Crystal. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. It feels weird to be back. I don't feel like I've done a show in ages. I know I do one normally once a month, but it seems like there's always like a long, but then I have
it
to,
does, yeah. It will,
yeah, have
do,
to get back
do
to normal.
Do you find yourself extra nervous when you haven't done one for a while?
I don't know, but I don't know about nervous, because if anybody listened to my first ever podcast I did, you could tell I was nervous the entire time.
Oh, yeah.
And
my goodness.
I've gone back and listened to it, too, and
it sounds
like I sound very different. I do not sound comfortable at all. I mean, not comfortable at all, but I don't, like, you can tell that I'm nervous. Which I think I also did my first one. I did like a summer type of show or something like that. But I mean, this one is a little bit different. But also we kind of run out of ideas too, and then old ideas. But I don't know.
Yeah, well, open poetry is always good too, because like people love a place to put a poem. Like, you know how sometimes you'll write one and you'll be like, oh, man, I wish there was a show going on. And then you take it to an open poetry show. And as a matter of fact, last night, Hatter and I did a show, and usually he gets to talk a little more, but he barely got to say a word because we got bombarded with poems, and we had some really awesome poems on the board last night. So if you don't have time for a topic, and I just toss up an open and
yeah, I had thought about doing an open one because I don't even really know if I ever have done an open poetry show. I may have. I'm not sure.
Yeah, because I was trying to think
yeah.
if I can remember one with you, but I really can't, Crystal, because you always
no.
have all these clever ideas and stuff. So I really don't.
Yeah.
I don't remember doing open. With you.
Yeah, I don't think, like, I mean, technically some of my things are kind of like open poetry, like when I do the games or something like that, some of those are open poetry, I would say, because
there's still kind of a little vibe going on, it's not just do what you want.
Yeah.
Either way, when I think of you, I think of, you know, the clever little ideas that you come up with, and the guest, the poet, and you know, the put a page number, and all the clever little things you do. But
yes.
My dear little sis, that's what makes you so special. And I think Hatter's here.
I know. I think I just saw him in the studio. Yeah, he's there.
Unmuted.
You're officially unmuted.
Yes.
Long time no see, Hatter.
Yeah, we rarely talk anymore.
I know. I'm pretty sure you two are always on the shows all the time. So like,
don't let them fool you. We just hung up the phone in real life to call Radio Life. So I was talking to them something before your show.
Oh wow.
We like to make sure everything gets started right, correctly. We might fade out during the shows, but yeah, in case there's trouble, problems. Oh,
in the real world, I was checking on him because he's got triple-digit temperatures today.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, and more than just 100. It's hot. I'm trying to move everything. I'm moving everything to the front of the castle, and it's taking me a while. I think this is it. Oh.
I can say here it is getting a little bit hot too. I don't know. We're not necessarily in the triple digits yet, but I don't even want to say yet, to be honest. But it definitely.
Yeah, we got.
I think we got to like 97 one day, but nowhere near 100 yet. So then again, I don't want to say yet because I hate it when it is, because here the humidity levels are really high, so it could be 100 degrees, but it will feel like 114 or 112.
Are you in Louisiana, Crystal?
Like yes.
Wow.
There's so much moisture in the air, so, yeah, it makes the heat so much worse, and then you sweat even more because of how much humidity there is in the air. not fun.
It does. Well, I was in Florida once for a writing convention thing, and in Orlando, and it was overcast and rainy, but the humidity was like 101 or some stupid thing. None of the air conditioners were working. It was miserable. I'll take the dry heat over the humidity anytime.
So will I. But, I mean, I don't know if I'd say I've gotten used to it. I guess I could say I have gotten used to it a little bit, but I prefer the dry heat as well because it's I don't know what it is about that humid heat. It just, it just makes you feel even more gross.
Yeah, it sucks the life out of you.
Yeah.
Or the energy.
That too. And I mean, I'm not going to say dry heat doesn't have bugs, but I think with the humid heat, it brings out more bugs, like mosquitoes and all the wasps and the bees and the hornets and all that. They all come out.
Yeah, I considered playing football at LSU at one point. And I never considered the humidity at that point in my life, and I don't think it would have lasted very long.
I had a few friends in high school that I had one or two friends in high school, I think, that played, went to LSU for college, and one of them, I think, went into football. I have no idea where he is now, but
yeah.
I know that I think he did go. So I don't think he probably was used to the weather. So
well, that's it.
I don't think it probably dawned on him.
To it. Yeah, they say you get used to it to a point when you're working out and that kind of in it, but it would be hard. I was told it was hard from like a coach of LSU. Then you come from the California coast from the heat, and you know, he'll watch you melt and think you're a wuss or something because it just drains you. The humidity guys come out here to the coast. They can't stand the dry heat. They think that's way too hot.
Yeah. It was interesting. I had so the place that I work at, we occasionally bring in people from different stores, and we're technically the training store, so we have different managers, different people that come in and stuff like that to be trained. We had one manager that was being trained, and she was telling us how she met her husband. She was from California, and you could hear it in her voice too. But she had met her husband, I think, like 20 years ago or something like that. And it was funny how she met him because he had this just Southern Cajun Louisiana accent. And she just fell in love with it. But it was funny how she was, like, telling me about it and stuff. Like, she don't know what it was. But then whenever she moved down here and stuff, I remember her talking about the weather as well, about it being different. And a lot of things were just different.
You can tell a California accent?
Yeah.
Is it a strong? Do I have one? Am I a California accent?
I think you have one a little bit, but I can't really tell it that much. Just sometimes tell some people, like, where they are from. Like, you can hear it in Deb's voice. Hers isn't entirely strong, but I can tell that she's from Jersey. I can hear it. But I think also people have mixtures, because I know I'm one of those people that has like a mixture of Northern and Southern in my voice, so you can't necessarily always tell where people are from.
Yeah. I went back to New York, stayed at a place with some musicians for 2 weeks, and they, more than half of them said, they could hear my California accent. The other half says, well, not really. So I think maybe L.A. Valley girl type, maybe that's what they're hearing for people from the southern part of the state. But California is so big. You know, Northern California is a totally different animal than Southern Cal.
That's funny because I was just thinking that the exact opposite. People who sound like they're from here are usually from North Jersey, and they have like a New York accent type thing going on, where I'm from the southern part, so I have less of a one. But I'm fascinated by regional voices and voices from around the world. Well, duh, a team of voices. But I think that it's fascinating to listen to people.
Well, it is. It's like A.P. Taylor. It's like A.P. Taylor. He doesn't sound like Crocodile Dundee or the rest of the Aussies, but he doesn't quite sound English either. And after talking to him, he says, well, my dad was English, so that's where he got the mixture. He says he's not nailed as an Aussie in New Zealand because of the English flavor that he got from his dad. So that's why he sounds a little different than most Australians, I guess. And
I know,
and
he sounds Australian, but at the same time, it's not like too strong. It's like what I was talking about before, people have a mixture. So I have heard that with ATs before. His is a mixture.
Well,
I put a
word on the board. Say it, Crystal.
Okay. I haven't seen it yet. Okay. Anchovy?
Okay. That's how I say it, too. The only reason Hatter just mentioned AP, and it made me think of the other day, he says anchovy.
Anchovy.
Huh.
And I thought that fascinated me.
I asked Bella, that being that English wasn't her first language, and it was. I learned a lesson. She says, no, English is my first language. Oh, it was the influence of my parents, I guess. You got to be careful with that.
I know. And she often has said different things, too. I always love the way that she says poetry. Because she often puts like a more of a poem in there, or she'll emphasize it more. Or even like you can tell Lady A is Canadian because sometimes she has like just a normal sounding voice. But then sometimes
she says a word like
hear
I just
that.
Put
yeah,
on
you
the board.
Hear that.
Great.
Yeah.
Gray eyes, Gray Smith the same way. When they say a boot and a boot.
I that's what I put on the board. I just going to say.
About.
There's
yeah.
one that. I believe she's here. Speak of the Queen.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. I see her, too. Hi, Lady A.
I don't know why you're talking about me like that. Because we don't have accents. You have accents.
Say the word on the board, Lady A.
Boot.
Well, let's talk about that.
You tried hard on that.
I don't say a boot. I say a boot. But we do
you
say.
You have said a boot. I've heard you say one. I've heard you say it before.
Pet. Telling such
gray eyes
horrible lies.
Gray eyes. Yes.
You say anchovy.
Yeah, but AP says anchovy.
Anchovy. That's right. I didn't know what he was saying.
I said to him, did you just say anchovy? Because, there's a couple words that he says different that I think are fascinating.
But you'll get, just like in the States, you'll get different accents from one end of the country to the other. And
when the radio shows is hearing all the dialect from around the world. Like my beautiful little sis and my beautiful big sis and everyone in between. I mean, some of these voices are phenomenal.
Okay, I learned a big lesson.
I want you each to say that name the way you would normally say it, okay? Wait. There. It's a name.
Barry.
Okay, Deb, you said Barry. And Crystal, you said Barry. And Hatter, how would you pronounce that name?
Is it, spell it. I'm not there yet.
B-A-R-R-Y.
Barry.
Yeah, so Barry. In Montreal, you would pronounce it Barry. And on the East Coast, they pronounce it Barry. Okay, how about this one?
How about?
How about this one?
I say aunt.
You know,
yeah,
weird. Sometimes I say both. I sometimes say aunt, and sometimes I say aunt.
Okay. I think it depends on what the person refers to themselves as, because I will say aunt, but I, all my aunts are my aunts. Auntie this and auntie that. Yeah, so.
Yeah, me too. That's how I say it. But they're around here where they all say aunt.
Well, it's spelled that way, but however your parents pronounce it to you when they introduce you to your family. And my parents introduced their sisters as my aunts, so.
What about this?
Mary.
Mary.
Deb, you and I have the same in that department. The A-R's are longer A's. Mary. Gary.
Yeah. Well, who washes their hand and who washes their hands?
I wash mine.
They wash here too. A lot of people do.
I wash mine.
My family will wash the car but wash their hands.
Isn't that funny?
There was one last word on the board.
Crystal.
Water.
From Washington.
Water.
Yeah.
Water.
Ah, I'm surprised. No waters.
No. I don't think I have water. I do know that usually I think when you are in more of that East Coast, you would say water. I have heard people say it that way.
My nephews, some of my family do, they do say water. I need a drink of water. I say water. I say water. Tomato.
Hey, I learned a big lesson one time. I had this guy.
Your show, we missed you. We were just running our mouths. Maybe we should let you do
totally
your poetry.
Into summer poetry to what's this word? How do you pronounce it?
Right? Say this word.
You know, I helped a guy from Jamaica.
I have this debate at my job, though. Oh, sorry, Hatter. I was going to say, I have this debate at my job because one of my bosses is Irish, and the part of Ireland that she's from, they say vitamin instead of vitamin.
Yeah.
And oftentimes people will say something to her when she says the word vitamin, and she's just like, it's where I'm from. And, like, I don't say anything of it.
I don't think you did. You just maybe with a little bit of a flair from your area, but like it just brought another one to mind. I'm sure you all say it the same way, so I'm just going to say it. But if you see an advertisement, AP is an advertisement.
Advertisement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Frank, call in because I don't know how that would be pronounced. Frank's rating is how he says water.
And he don't really
certain things.
The one
water.
Thing about the Irish, the, as
water.
Long as you've got a picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus over your kitchen table, you'll do fine.
What?
Okay, you guys didn't get it.
Say that again.
Say it again. Yeah.
It was talking about the Irish person, and I said the one thing about the Irish, if you have the Sacred Heart of Jesus picture over your kitchen table, everything will be just fine.
Okay, now I get it. I didn't hear you before. I didn't hear it before. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I hear a lot of stuff from her all the time. Like, didn't she just sound entirely Irish? Like she will just use every single phrase from Ireland. Even though she's been in America for like 20 years, or maybe more than that, like 20, 25 years, and that's like more than her lifetime that she's lived. Like, and yet she still talks like that. But I mean, I think she should embrace it.
Oh,
but,
I learned a big lesson. I used to have people that ask me, can you help me learn how to rhyme? And I was typing talking, texting with this guy that was in one of my groups. Seemed to be struggling with some of the how to rhyme. So I tried. Then I realized why stuff wasn't working, because he was Jamaican. And this had happened once before to me with an English. You have certain words don't rhyme how they say the same word.
Oh, yeah. You mean like that?
And
I
never realized
rhyme
that
and
before.
Sometimes it doesn't sound that way.
Yeah, the one lady said, I like the way you near rhyme. I go, near rhyme? This is solid. What are you talking about? And then I realized somebody said, well, she's from England. So they're saying, I think it was
they
grandma, grandpa.
Yeah.
They say it differently, so it doesn't rhyme.
Trick of the ear.
Grandfather, grandfather.
I think it's interesting
to see
all the different differences between us.
Well, what's remarkable is like Selma, who writes the poetry in French, then translates it to English and or Italian. Now, I know the syntax structure of the sentence is different between French and English. So when you're trying to create that emotion the poet does, how much do you need to change the translation? And does it work all the time? Or how struggle? And I find that fascinating that they do that. And would it, it's the same argument with the three line poems.
Yeah.
What are they? I'm having a brain thing here.
The three line poems.
What are they called? Yeah,
that was
started in the 5th century in Japanese in the 5th century. Now their alphabet are symbols and characters of visual things. They don't create words with letters like we do. So their minds to create in Japanese it's art. And they could see it, and it's like a picture to them. How can we translate in words the same way? I don't think we can do it properly. I don't think we can do haiku the way it was the masters wanted it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Even when you look at language spoken, like let's say German, for example, they put a lot of their like we would start a sentence, he said such and such, and they would end their sentences the way we would start ours. So it would
be
very difficult.
Yeah, Spanish is the same way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, at some point, some poems got to be weaker in the translations than in the how you first used it, especially with rhyme, I would think. Nice class.
I did put one up for
your show. Are we still doing the summertime thing?
Yes.
If we ever shut up and leave Crystal to her show.
Okay. It's like 30 minutes later. What are we still talking about? I promise anybody that is listening out there, I promise this is a poetry show. I don't mind it. I don't even have like too many poems tonight. So like us just like doing this whole talking and stuff like that, I definitely am enjoying it. I agree with Frankie said Spanish is easier to rhyme. It is, because I usually don't post anything like that on All Poetry, but I have done some Spanish poems and they can be a little easy. But anyway, let me go ahead and do the poetry. Let's see. I know I got a lot of SoundCloud, so I may go ahead and I'm probably going to go ahead and start with a SoundCloud. I think I'm going to do K's first. I know K and Stephen, they have a show tonight at their uh, And I got the link on the board. Let me just find Kay here. And does everybody got it?
I do.
Okay. I'm going to hit play.
Smalls and Junkyard Dogs of Foul Balls by Kay. Yesterday is one step ahead. The wheel spin of a season, sequins. While brushing hands of cracklins, get into trouble for crying out loud. Run around. Feel the earth's warmth squish between your toes. Scrape your knees in bloody rug burn scrapes. Roll down a grassy field staining your clothes, greased with clayed turf. Walk with your own dust cloud, rain and ashes of tumbleweed dirt. Grab the soil, clench it in your fists. Climb trees, squirreling for crusades. Hop fences. The frontiersmen of imaginations are footprints shadowed along the way to follow. Don't become a panty waste walking backwards. Raise your hand, just don't quack like a duck. Close the barn door thoughts while clutching a childhood. Boys wishing to be sultans of SWAT, perhaps a titan of terror, the king of crash man, beast holding a baseball, the ace bagging a bandbox, the gapper gloving the outfield. Watch out for hammer and baseballs, they may plant you. A nail to be pounded, railroad stakes undriven. Run. Jump into home. Backdoor sliders. Monkeys a third baseman. A bad ball hitter around the horn. Baltimore chops. Basket catches. The cans of corn. And a catbird seat. Sellers' boyhood days. End poem.
Well, that was really good. And I see what you did.
Well, a bunch
you
of terms,
did the movie The Sandlot. Because that was the first thing that kind of, like, when I was just talking about baseball, and that kind of came to mind, then I looked down, and it's for a show for the movie The Sandlot. But I do love the way that she does this and stuff. Like, it's really good visuals. Like, I'm imagining all these children staining their clothes with all this, like, dirt and stuff like that, dust from the ground, and, like, some few scrapes here and there, and just. But the part I think I love is about the part about grabbing the soil and clenching it in your fists and stuff. Like, think of when I was a child and stuff and playing in the dirt and things. And just, like, I literally, when I was hearing her say that and reading it, that I had that feeling in my hands again about just, like, clenching the dirt in your hands and stuff like that, the moist soil or even, like, sometimes the dusty ground, especially if you were playing baseball. Like, just... Or even the feeling I remember when I used to play, like, baseball or softball as a kid, is just, like, running around, and then you're trying to run to first base or something, or you're sliding to go safe and stuff, just being covered in dirt, but you didn't care. I love what she did with this. Her visuals are just perfect and everything. So I also think she did great through the movie as well. And let me get a first comment from Deb.
Yeah, well, on this one, she grabbed me way back at the first stanza with the yesterday is one step ahead, the wheel spins of season sequence, while brushing hands of cracklins, get into trouble for crying out loud. Run around. It's like get out there, do something. And then in that section, it got me thinking of all the kids around America sitting there, glued to their electronics and not out in the yard playing and skinning their knees and playing baseball. And the other pieces that took us into the lot with her, boys wishing to be sultans of SWAT, which is something they mentioned in the movie. Beast holding a baseball. And if you think about it, if I'm not mistaken, that baseball is a signed baseball that one of the kids clipped from their parents, borrowed from their parents. But I think that she did an amazing job in the poem and especially to the movie.
Great comment, Deb. Yeah, I think she did too. Hatter, how about you?
Yeah, I think what she did was she took legitimate terms and phrases from baseball, and she wrote two sort of around them. And let me pick some of these out. It doesn't start till like greased with clay, clayed turf, tumbleweed dirt. There's this big, the Sultan of Swat is Babe Ruth. But don't become a panty waist walking backwards. Raise your hand. Don't crack like a duck. Or clutching your. The Sultans of Swat. Okay, maybe not so much. I thought I had seen more. The ace bagging, the band box, the gapper gloving and outfield. Watch for the hammering baseballs. I think she's playing with some of the terms in baseball. Maybe Steven had something to do with this too, to remind her what was a bad ball hitter. You have to be careful about a bad ball hitter. He'd throw a ball, he's going to knock it out of the park. Baltimore chops. So there is some of that in there. Cat bird seats. She's showing off is what she's doing, Kay. Showing off. Very good.
Great comment, Heather. And before I get a comment from Lady A, let me grab Frank. Not leave him out.
Watch where you grab him.
Hello. Hello there, my friend.
Hi, Frank.
Hi, Frank.
Can you hear me? Hello there. Can you hear me?
Yes. Crystal?
Right.
Oh, we hear you. We got you. At least I do.
Right.
I hear you. All right. Well, let me get a comment from Lady A on case form.
Well, I have to agree with what everybody said so far with regard to today's young people and kids and not playing outside and how much they're missing. And this poem reflects that. And even though you might, you know, get scraped knees or your shirt dirty or whatever, it's still, you know, their imagination is piqued when you can go outside and play and pretend. And whether it's baseball or you know, going into the woods and building a fort or any of those things, I think have been lost, and it's a terrible shame because kids can't entertain themselves anymore. And I thought this was a great piece reflecting that.
Yeah, that is very true, because I oftentimes, especially as the years go on, being a lot around children, it's like, seems like the more and more older the generation or like the younger the generation is getting and stuff like that, the more they are just, they don't play outside. They don't do anything. And I can't even deal with that, because that was just my childhood, was just playing outside, playing in the dirt. Having my toys,
yeah,
go on crazy adventures, all kinds of things.
Yeah, how many kids you see riding their bikes? How many kids you see riding bikes around?
Oh, I know.
It's zero.
It's
zero around here.
And that used to be the thing, is that you would ask Santa Claus for a bicycle around Christmas. And kids now are like, they want a PlayStation 4, or I think it's a 5 now. I don't know. But it's like, that's what they are asking for.
Well, and also parents are trying to protect them, and legitimately so, protect them so they don't leave their house. I mean, most of us were gone until the streetlights came on. That was when you were
supposed to be
home.
I have to say that where I am, there's a ton of bike riding. There's lots of kids that ride their bikes, and families ride their bikes together. We have bike trails, and the streets are not cordoned off, but they're painted off where it's the bike lane. So we have a lot of bike riders. Move to Canada. It's a great place. We have health care and bike riders.
That's the whole reason to move there.
Yeah.
Frank, did you get a chance to hear Kay's poem?
No, I did not, but I was able to just look through it. I agree with what's been said already here. I mean, there is that sense of innocence there that... can you hear me? I'm hearing some noise there.
I hear you.
All right, I hear something, some background thing. I think the poem itself does speak to that broader point there. Of remembering, you know, I would think that we all remember our childhood or adolescence there. I would say our time of innocence there, where we were less, more adventurous and I would say less, I would say, you know, back in those days when you're young, you know, your burden is, you don't have many burdens when you're a child, when you're an adolescent. So you're free to roam and to enjoy time, enjoy leisure as well. And I would have to say that this is a poem here that has a wholesome nature to it, you know. What she talks about here is just relating to the common themes of nature there, you know. Although this is in the background of a bass bar here, prompt there, I mean, I could certainly relate to this poem here. There is a lot about, you know, growing up in the time of innocence and going out there and, you know, being about with your friends, being about with your family, and enjoying life. And then, you know, as you get older, you remember the experiences that you shared with those individuals. So this poem really does speak in that regard to me about an experience here that's more than just a baseball experience. It's about sharing experience of relationships, you know, whether they are, in a sense, intimate, personal, or just mere friendships. There is, that's what I could sense in this poem, yeah. I mean, I wasn't able to read all of it in time or hear it, but it's what I grasped from it. Hello?
I can hear you, Frank. I don't know what happened to anybody else.
I was trying to get off mute.
Hey, Crystal.
Awesome comment, Frank. And awesome comments to everybody. And thank you, Kay, for bringing that and stuff like that. Okay, so I've got Budo next on the board because I know he's out there listening. So I got his SoundCloud as well. And then after that, I am going to do the people that called, like Deb, Hatter, and Frank and everybody. So, all right, I'll go ahead and find his SoundCloud and hit play.
Summer Sighs by Budo. On a dirt trail we rode, on that warm sunny day, teamed up since first grade, helter and skelter, names given to us by our moms. Our black and red banana cedars, yellow streamers from handlebars, a black joker playing card in our spokes, backpacks with canteens of Mountain Dew, PBJs and Hershey's melting chocolate. Giggles of excitement rose from beating heartbeats, anticipating unknown encounters on that first day of summer break. We rode alongside a river of emerald green for a distance, skirted by trees teeming with songbirds, heralding our journey onward. I managed to bike through each puddle, trying to spray my cohort with muck as we weaved back and forth, jostling around with gusto amid streaks of laughter. Noon showed in brilliant beams, drawing the puddles and crisping air, urging us to pull over for a break, resting on the outskirts of a large farm of cattle grazing, uninterested in the two of us. We drank our dew, ate smushed, soggy sandwiches, and attempted the chocolate, grinning with cocoa teeth and Snickers. I looked over to some wooden slats that had seen better times, partially fallen and weather-beaten. We packed up and walked up to the fence and peeked over, sighting a shell of an abandoned vehicle. A cornflower blue 57 Chevy, turning copper and crimson. The windows were busted out and seats knived to shreds. The passenger door was torn from the hinges. I reached into the glove box, lurching back as a spider greeted me in a gesture of hostility. Reaching back in, I retrieve the faded pink envelope with amber inked on the back. The envelope was opened and letter read aloud. My dearest heart, sorry to have to leave you this way, but just remember, you will always be with me. I will be back before you know it. Fighting isn't my thing, but I signed up and will do my part. If you want to see me, I ship off at first dawn. Signed, Your Clown. A large lump formed in my throat as we stood there in silence for what seemed like hours. My buddy, softly weeping and sobbing, eyeballs glazed over, whispered, "She never got it." I half-grunted affirmation and wiped moist droplets from tear-stained eyes and placed it gingerly back in the envelope into its proper resting place. We rode back in silence, past the trees and birds and river, taking the trail back to a paved road with streetlights and sidewalks. I waved to Helter, and he went into his mom's open arms. She waved back. I rode aimlessly home, my mind rambling over and over of what transpired that day. It was the beginning of summer, yet there was a chill in the air, and a faded memory that changed us forever on that fateful day. End of poem.
Wow.
Wow. You
it's the best.
My words right out of my mouth. One reason why I did the show is that I do love hearing stories, especially the more descriptive you get of the story, the more I can envision everything. And with this, I feel like Budo just did perfectly, because I'm just imagining all like the outskirts, riding their bikes and stuff, the trees, the water. I can feel the heated sun on the back of their heads and something like that as they ride, and then they've got all their melted chocolate and their peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and their Mountain Dew and stuff like that, and just these kids. And then they see this abandoned, which I love the way that he describes the old rusted, almost like a lemon kind of vehicle and stuff like that. But then finding that letter and then just like, wow. I mean, it really is a pretty cool story. Like, even how simple it is, it still is something, like, it's that simple kind of story that you would tell, but yet it's still so interesting at the same time. But also, like, I love the ending, though, of talking about the beginning of summer and stuff like that, that we all have that feeling as a child when it was the beginning of summer and you knew it was the beginning of memories and things that you'll never forget. And I love just the way that he talks about the boys and stuff like that. This, I really, really enjoyed this video. You got it. You nailed it perfectly. I knew the story was going to end, but at the same time, I feel like there is enough, but at the same time, I'm like, I wanted to hear more. Let me get you some comments. I'll start with Deb again.
Oh, this is really, really awesome. For starters, he took us on such a journey. But back at the beginning with the details, the cuteness of their moms calling them Helter and Skelter, the specifics of the lunch they packed. The word Hershey's took me on a journey to Hershey Park and smelled chocolate and my mouth was watering. And then we go into this unexpected story that we're trucking along and he's giving us these great details, and then we come to this note in the glove compartment and the utter shock of his friend to realize that the note was never, the person never got that note. From the lump in the throat, I mean, he really, really wrapped this up in such a perfect way. And I agree with you. I think that I would be interested to keep going. He made it such an interesting journey that I could have had more. I'm saving it. It's really awesome.
Great comment, Deb. And Hatter, how about your comment?
I'm so glad you called on me. I wonder if they knew what a helter-skelter is and if the mother shared that with them. A helter-skelter is a large twirling slide. It's a huge structure that's usually it's got skin around it. I mean, you can't see inside. You climb up inside and you take these slide that spins around all the way down. That's a helter-skelter. I love the descriptions. Just like Deb said, they were spot on, bringing up the emotions. The silence on the ride home after the friend's tears and him saying that she didn't get it brought, boy, they reached down and got the emotion of what possibly could have happened. I don't know. Yeah, I think it was the best I've read of Biddle's.
I will agree on that. I really liked it, too. I love hearing his music, but sometimes seeing him branch out from the music and stuff. And I have read a little bit of stories before from Budo, but not that much. So I think this is a nice refresher. So, Budo, I expect more stories out of you. This is really good. great comment, Hatter. And Lady A, how about your comment?
Yes, I, I'm just going to go back to it here. I'm trying to finish off a poem for you. I've just finished it, actually. I thought he did this, it was just actually quite beautiful. And he's very talented anyways, but I think I like his reference to the black and red banana cedars, the bicycles, again, and the streamers on. All his description of everything about summer just was really moving. It was nostalgic is the best word I could use for this. And and I love this one. The giggles of excitement rose from beating heartbeats, anticipating unknown encounters on that first day of summer break. And I remember as a young teenager, going away for the summer, and there was always the place where they hung out, you know, the kids would hang out, the teenagers would hang out, and that reminded me of that, because, you know, that summer love, and then, of course, they had all the summer songs that played, and it just really was very nostalgic to me. I really liked it a lot, and, you know, you could take this line by line, and you know, the summer love, the pop that was drank, you know, we drank our dew and ate smushed soggy sandwiches. You know, I remember those refrigerator thingies that you'd have the bottles of pop and you put your money in, and then you could take it out of the, it's almost like a, I don't know if I'm not even describing it right, but you'd have to take it out of the slots and you'd kind of make all kinds of noise, and it was cold and just the whole thing was, to me, it reminded me of when I was a kid. And but then, you know, the love story that's in this as well is really quite touching. And I love the letter, you know, my dearest heart. It just was beautiful, I thought. It was a wonderful piece.
Awesome comment, Lydia. I know it had me feel a little nostalgia, too. But I did ask how I wrote it perfectly like that. But, yeah. Frank, can you give us the last comment, and then Hatter's going to go next.
Yes, I agree with all the comments that have been said. This poem is definitely a poem that brings memories. I look down, and he wrote there, this is a semi. His words, the semi-true story. The names and events change to protect the innocent, so there is a measure of truth to this poem here. Nevertheless, I thought the poem was just exquisite. It was a remarkable piece there, a remarkable narrative. I thought every detail, every description here, you know, the metaphors here were just exquisite writing. I really enjoyed the method of this piece, the innocence as well. You know, the time of innocence, as I said before, You know, and I like that the notion there of the discovery of the 57 Chevy, and of course the letter there. This is just, it's a remarkable piece, and it's really deserving of a front page. It just has many classic elements of just good memories there, you know. And he took us on one of these odysseys there, you know. Everything that he wrote on here could be easily visualized. And Helter Skelter is another, I'm not sure if you're aware after that in England. Helter Skelter is a word for it's like a slide, an amusement park.
Yeah.
That was a great comment, Frank. And I see your message header. Okay, I'll have someone else go first.
Okay, thank you.
All right. That's the case. I will go ahead and let Deb read.
I got mine for you if you want.
Okay. I'm switching mine. Can I put it directly on the chat wall?
That works for me.
Cool.
Makes my job easier. No, I'm kidding.
Okay. Is Deb next?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll put mine in the room, okay? On the topic board.
Perfecto mundo. Okay, do you see mine, Crystal?
I got it.
Cool.
I hope everybody else does.
Okay. It's called Cloud Hotel Suites and Periwinkle Skies Over the Beach. Here we go. Past sidewalks and asphalt highways, down at the Jersey Shore, over the rooftops, chapel steeples, and evergreen trees. Pump clouds cruise in locomotion, rolling over white sand dunes on the whispered breeze. On opal beds that rock and float by the cantaloupe sunball up high, all the fairies snore at nap time, rise and wave their wings to fly, just like the stained glass butterfly. In green grass stage, so do I. Staring through sunglasses at the powder blue landscape view, brain travels in a time capsule clip to Azle High CU, like the color movie slideshows, as my heartbeats raced and skip. Fingers lift and reach out, pink lips part to shout, but teardrops slip down my cheek and mouth motions, but I cannot speak. Backyard honeysuckle vine cologne perfumes the coconut suntan lotion air. Breaths catch, body shakes, and eyes blink, then picture you there. But hands just clasp the air. And then the author's notes, when I was a kid and as an adult watching the clouds shapeshift, still reminds me of lazy days with the family, watching the clouds pass and calling out what the shapes were that we saw. Some are still here, some have passed on, but someday I'll meet them all there. Lazy summer days.
Oh, wow, Deb. One thing I know that I love is the staring through sunglasses at the powdered blue landscape view, brain travels in a time capsule that two hazel eyes see you, like movie slideshows, and my heartbeat breaks and skips. I love that the two hazel eyes see you, and then you've got this, it's like beautiful, like the whole thing to me is just beautiful, but I love those lines. But I also love the movie slideshows and stuff, kind of like when you do go out to the beach or something like that, and just almost like sometimes the way that the waves go and change colors, and then when you're out in the beach all day long, it's like when you first go there, you got these big blue, powdered blue skies, and then they can change to like this beautiful apricot color, sometimes even like some like scarlet colors, like a little bit of pink in there sometimes. You have all these different views that you see. But I do love just, like, you made the beach just sound beautiful, and then you got all these heartfelt emotions, too, about being out with the family and stuff like that, and out, like, on sand dunes and out just out and then feeling the breeze and everything, and then just you got the little part about the butterflies too. Just it is just very, I don't know, I would say like a young nostalgic kind of feel to it as well. But then also it kind of, you can sense it as an adult too. But I think we just did a wonderful job to it. I really enjoyed hearing it and everything. But I do love the two hazel eyes that see you with the movie Lance by Bride Chamber. I like that a lot. And, oh, Deb dropped. Hopefully she's calling back in. I don't know what happened. I don't know. I was like about to sit there and I hadn't heard her voice, and I looked over in the studio and said she dropped, and I was like,
did you had dropped? No, did you had dropped? Someone else had dropped before? No,
I had dropped someone. No, I still have you. I know Hatter
or someone
is out doing something. Okay, here's Deb. I was gonna say I wasn't about to start comments without her here. I wasn't about to do that. You were so quiet,
I know. I did hear almost all of your beautiful comment, but the other phone died. But I did hear almost all of it.
All right. Well, like I said, I wasn't going to start comments until you called back. So I know Hatter is doing something. So let me get Lady A.
I thought this was terrific. Deb, I think that I feel akin to you. I feel really close to you in a lot of ways when you write about the sea, because you express it the same way that I do. And further to that, when this piece, it's sad, but beautiful at the same time. I think that, it's just a really moving piece, and I know you think of your parents and some other lost loved ones, little ones and big ones, and you pick at my heart, but you do it in such a beautiful way, even though that it's sad, it's still beautiful at the same time, that you can look at the sky, that summer sky, and glean all these feelings and thoughts. And I love the end of it, because eyes blink and picture you there, but hands just clasp the air, but that's temporary. And this is really very poignant and very beautiful.
Thank you so much.
I'm putting it on my list.
Great comment, Lady A. And let me get one from Frank.
Well, first of all, I have to say, you're very fortunate to have experiences, the memories there, time, occasions that you shared there. I think this poem is very beautiful in that regard. The only time that we can, recall, I think we're all at our age, even you, Crystal, you're at that age as well where you're very fond of your memories, even though you might be younger than us. This poem really has just a quality that's beautiful. The imagery, the memories are palpable. The aspect of the appreciation of nature and time shared with your loved ones there really makes this poem even much more beautiful. It just has an incredible essence of depth as well. You made me think as well. I think all of us here just for memories as well. I too recall my fond memories by the Mediterranean Sea. So if there's something we Lady I and I share, perhaps Chris as well, that fondness for the sea, in the ocean. And this poem here really really touches on really the, as I've said before, our time of innocence when we enjoyed life We learned how to live life. We were not burdened perhaps as much as we are now. We appreciated, you know, now as we go through our memories, you know, I'm certain I could speak on behalf of Deb, you know, just recalling these experiences really, I'm certain they probably are for you one of the fondest, or if not the fondest memories you've ever shared in your lifetime.
Yeah, thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
Often I hear you or Lady A say something that I would say too when it comes to these. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and Periwinkle, you could not go without Periwinkle, which makes it even much more a beautiful poem. Because Periwinkle, it's a beautiful word there.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Excellent comment, everyone. And before I do move on, I don't know if Heather, are you there? Are you ready to read now, or do you want me to somebody else? I don't know if he's there or not.
I'm ready.
Okay. Then I'm going to do you, and then Lady A, you're next after that. So
okay.
I think your phone's on the board. So I'll repost it just in case.
Okay. Okay. You get it. Okay. It's called Summertime Sam. It was like this. Her name was Sam, a beach we shared when we were young. Castles built when we were where we would live to watch the setting sun. She wore a sandy smile, starfish on rocks she named. We would be together for a while and nothing would be the same. Sam was there each spring to greet me. She told me how she loved me true. Sam would take my hand each time and I would tell her I loved her too. All I wanted was to build her castles in the sand. All I needed was to hold her hand. I only knew of things called summer, the warming breeze and full lights. I would sit and watch her dance for me. Sam filled those summer nights. Years grew to my first kiss. It came one summer of Sam. My dreams were always hers to keep. My dreams of summertime Sam. We knew the hideouts on the moon, and Sam would always close her eyes. She would whisper in my ear, I love the summer sky. The year I drove to build the castles, there was no Sam to greet me. The waves were different that special year. I wonder if she missed me. I waited for at the castle doors. I watched the waves goodbye. The lonely summer of Sam began with the rains that made me cry. I drove Sam's footprints next to mine with no whispers in my ear. I remember for all my days, Sam didn't come that year. I replay the days of summertime, Sam. If we meet again, would she know who I am? My dreams of castles and seaweed sashes, smiles and kisses in the summertime, Sam. How I wish I knew where to find her. How I wish to hold her hand. I will always build her castles. I will always love you, Sam. A beach we shared when we were young, and I would hold your hand. True story.
Wow.
I never got her last name. I don't know what she is.
Her name was Sam.
Yep,
I always
Sam.
Hear that,
well,
too. They always say there's like a summer romance or something like that, like some kind of fling that you have or somebody that you meet in the summer, but yet you'll never see them again. And I've experienced it myself. I figure a lot of people have. It doesn't even have to just be like in a love way necessarily, just somebody that you've met and were friends with or so. But I love what you did. When I do think of people that write stories, you are one person that comes to mind, Hatter, of like you do the very much the rhyming kind of stories and stuff, and a lot of them are a lot of my favorites. So, and this one makes no exception. Like, I love the way there's just like certain lines that I like the most. Like, I like when we were in the hideout, we knew the hideouts on the moon, and Sam would always close her eyes. She would whisper in my ear, I love the summer sky. And I'm just picturing you two and stuff like that, under the moonlight over by the beach and stuff like that, and just these summer nights and everything. And but yeah, and I love that. All I wanted was to build a carcasses in the sand. All I needed was to hold her hand. Like, that to me is just really, really sweet. And it has that much that, like I was saying before, like a little bit of a summer romance. Not even just that, just somebody that you came to know and shared a bond with over in the summer. So I really, really enjoyed this. And it's too bad that it'd be weird one day if she would find this poem and read it. But
yeah, you don't think about getting addresses. You didn't think about getting addresses or even my last name. She was always going to be
yeah.
there, I thought. And
yeah, that's
wasn't.
True.
I think you should try to find her.
How? This
well,
is, this
you
is
know,
campground.
Wherever you were,
the
wherever you met in the local papers and the personal ads, Facebook. Put your story out and some might know.
Well, I did know she wasn't local. I mean, this was in the mountains. This is on a lake, camping.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. But it's always a memory, though. That's the thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and holding her hand was like, yeah, that was a big deal. That was a real big deal.
Well, let me get you some comments, Hatter. I'm actually going to go ahead and start with Lady A.
Well, I remember this piece very well, and I'll read what I wrote then. It was like, it's heartache, heartbreak, pure, simple beauty from the heart. And, you know, you kill it each time. I mean, it's just so emotionally charged and so beautifully written.
Thank you, Lady. I'm going to take all your comments and paste them on my wall, if that's okay.
Okay. They're true. I would not say them if they... I just feel very deeply about your writing, and I think that you're amazing.
Thank you, Lady, so much.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment, Lady A. And Frank, how about a comment from you?
Well, I have to say, this is very believable indeed. I've had several occasions of these moments here. I don't know to what extent you can find, or even if you found that person, could you actually rekindle that time period, rekindle, you know, that flame, that momentary flame there? No, it's very difficult nowadays, but if it was possible, they have to, you know, if it was possible only, you know, I'd be the first to applaud that. I thought this poem was, you know, like Deb's poem, it was just a remarkable, bright, the storytelling was beautiful. You know, the memories, it seems to be the poem is really attached to a fond memory and a yearning there. It's a great romantic piece there. I just love the humbleness of this piece here, the recognition of what it was and what it meant to you and what it means to you now. I certainly do believe, although lately I haven't really aspired to it, but there is such a thing as love at first sight. There's such a thing as where you meet someone, even though, you know, the ages can differ there, you know, time periods, but there is such that notion there that there has to be something there, you know, to grasp onto. And, you know, and I really just enjoyed the way you brought the images here, the castles there, the moon, the summer, you know, and then, of course, the intimacy in this piece here with just, you know, you don't think about it, you know. The heart is one of those things that doesn't think, it just feels. You know, and I can certainly understand what you're saying in this poem here. And I would only hope that, as I said before, if you do, you know, come across the, you know, good luck on that. Perhaps you've on social media, I don't know. If you say she's a foreigner, well, you know, it is difficult to believe. I mean, I had a pin pal. I had an episode like this of a pin pal from Italy, and I never saw her after. It's been over years now. We only wrote, never met. But this poem really brought me those memories, and it does bring that, you know, those memories there for you as well. I can certainly see that, and I thought you did a fantastic job with this poem. It was a great poem.
Yeah, I was hoping to bring any kind of memory anybody else had when I wrote it. You know, I think I was 11, 12 years old maybe.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that she remembers me as much as I did her. Some things, I do believe some things were meant to be a memory.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Frank.
It is hard to accept that, Tata. I mean, I don't know for you, but it would be hard for me to just accept it as that. It's just a memory, you know, because that memory would taunt me forever. You know, I there are occasions and moments where people come in your life that do mean something, even though you might not realize it at the time. And it's difficult to try to grasp and understand what that moment or what that, you know, what that experience was in hindsight, you know, even after years. You know, but I certainly can respect you here with this poem here, how much this really means to you, you know.
Yeah, it every summer, there's not a summer goes by, all I got to say is camping, and that memory comes back. That's all good.
I'm glad to hear that for you, my friend. I really am.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And thanks for letting me read. Now I'm going to turn on the air conditioning because I am burning up in here. So I'm going to mute myself.
I'm under the fan here over here as well.
I think we all understand the heat pretty much. Or maybe not all of us, but people that live where it's hot. Let's see. Deb, I know Deb had to go, but we still have a few. I think I have about 4 or 5 poems left. And I put down Lady A. Lady A, whenever you're ready to read.
Okay. I wrote one, and I called it Sounds and Sights of Summer. Each day in summer spent at the beach, sun, sand, and me, freedom, peace, serenity. Underwater swimming, eyes open in salty sea, crabs, skates, and minnows while swimming free, seen while swimming free. Sun bakes my skin till red, creaking all night in bed, noxema gobs on shoulders, back, and blistered noses crack. Fitful sleep, crispy burn, did not deter my beach return. Slathered in noxema, hat and shirt for cover, sea treasure to discover. Never have I tired of seaside life, 'tis cathartic, rids all of life's strife. Feet grounded in sand connects us to Creator, there is nothing greater. Salt air, squawking gulls, jellyfish to ponder, oh, all the wonders. Buckets of sand and watering cans, castles made with my Nan. Today I gaze out to the sea as sun sets and evening breezes. Clouds of mauve, pink skies, golden rod dips as I cry. Sleeping rushes hours by, I rise to meet the morning sky, left to spend another day on the beach in summer's bouquet. End poem.
It always amazes me about you, Lady A, that you will just sometimes just write a poem in the middle of the show, and it will take you like 10 minutes or sometimes even less than that, sometimes a little more, but like it'll just take you just a few minutes, and then instead of it seeming like a poem that took like 5 minutes to write, it seems like it took you 2 hours. And it always amazes me every single time, because this is like one of them. It's like, how you were thinking of these things while still being on the show and stuff like that and still able to write it and things. It amazes me every single time. But I love the part. Today I gazed out at the sea as sea sets and evening breezes and clouds of mauve pink skies and goldenrod drips as I cry. I love that the clouds of mauve and the pink skies, like you're setting these beautiful, beautiful visuals of the beach again. Like I'm imagining all these beautiful blue skies and mixed with some pink, and then the clouds are mixing together with them, and they're just rippling over over the ocean and stuff like that. It's this beautiful grayish blue waves and stuff like that mixing with it. Like it's this beautiful painting that you bring and stuff like that. And that's what you're seeing and stuff. It's like how amazing the ocean can be and how the water can change colors and the skies can change colors and even the clouds and everything. So I love it what you did with this. And I also love the you bringing out the parts about all the different fishes and the castles and the sands and everything. Like you give a perfect representation of the beach. In the beginning of your poem, the bringing out the way that the beach makes you feel like at peace. So really, really beautiful job.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
Wow.
Hatter, you want to comment?
Yeah, I could smell the Noxzema. My sister would use it. Yeah, when she would get burned, we're pretty white skinned family, so getting burned like that, so I could smell the Noxzema, and that's a flashback to my youth. You know, the way you put it together and you know, story told also was right on.
Thank you.
You didn't care how much you were burned. It didn't stop you from going back to the beach because that's where the fun was, right?
Exactly. Oh yeah, my whole life, my whole childhood was on the beach. Yeah, love it still, just as much. Thanks, Heather.
Awesome comment, Heather. And Frank, you want to comment, and then we'll play your sound plug.
All right. I thought it was a lovely poem. It spoke of the wonders of nature, the beach, and enjoyment of the moment. And if we don't enjoy the moment that we share, you know, whether it's at the beach, whether it's up the forest, whether it's up the mountains, whether it's at any place that we enjoy the fields, the meadows, you know. You have to appreciate life, you know, because you only have one life. I can certainly get, I get the sense, and from knowing Lady A, I can tell her appreciation of life, of what she's gone through. Live the moment, live the present, for it's all you have. And I'm glad that you really enjoy and relish your time there with the sea and everything that's around and everything that encompasses, you know, just an ocean there of enjoyment of it. I'm glad that you are able to, through your poetry, give us a vision of your thoughts, your emotions, you know, everything that encompasses you as a person, as a woman. And I really did find this poem very endearing, very much. I can certainly relate to it. There's nothing more beautiful than just being there in front of the beach and enjoying in the beach, enjoying the moment, the time that you have, you know, listening to the waves, listening to the sounds of gulls, everything that is the beauty and the magic of the sea and the ocean. You know, if you can appreciate it, most certainly, most definitely do. And I really, really enjoy this piece here.
Thank you very much, Frank.
You're welcome.
I'm glad you did. Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Wonderful comment, Frank. And I got your link on the board, and let me go ahead and find your SoundCloud and hit play.
If a June night could talk, it would probably voice its invented romance. Emerald green would be the silence, wet would be the light. The month of June would tremble like a butterfly. Summer is the voice of nature, the flowers, the sign of gardens, the wind, the echo of hope. The songs of the sparrows and the currents of the flowing stream, a time where love is life, in life is love. The morning embrace of the season, the afternoon rays of the sun, in the magical colors of a rainbow. The fresh cherries and berries, the cantaloupes and apples, the juicy fruits of the plenitude of the harvest. The fading glint of the sunset, an arrival of the eventide, twinkling stars. A transience of the glow of the moon in the ebony shade of the universe. The kissing dew of lovers, the blanket of the soothing setting of summer nights. An incredible adventure of the joy of the passing days in the beauty of the serenity. To sleep under the covers of the clouds and the music of the strings of a violin. To waken together in the morning beside petals drenched in the rain falling as we open our eyes staring at each other. Summer is the face of love, not the stranger of winter. Oh, summer is the face of love, not the stranger of winter. In the poem.
Oh, wow. I will say, Frank, that your SoundClouds get better every time, and some people, which you do, add music to yours, but there's something about yours that I like that you do is you, when you're reading it, sometimes when I make SoundClouds, I sometimes feel so rushed, I guess, because, like, even though I should just let the words flow, and that's what I feel like you do when you're doing a SoundCloud. It seems like you know how to emphasize one word and know how to, you know how to say each word, and so it's like in the way that it needs to be said, I guess I would say, like, if you're going for more of, like, something more evil, you can do a certain accent with that, and then sometimes when you're trying to, it's more romantic or love, you can feel that sensation in your voice, and I feel like you did that, especially in the ending, and every time I hear it, I get goosebumps in some way, especially when you did Not the Stranger of Winter. When you repeated it, I got goosebumps. So,
I appreciate
really
that. I said before, it has to do with my training in years of doing studio work. I've learned to master pretty much how to emphasize with my voice a poem, you know, regardless of the genre. I always, you know, but this poem, I mean, I have to say as well, this poem was a very serious poem for me in the sense that, you know, the whole aspect, can you hear me? Okay. The whole aspect of summer for me is a beautiful season. So, and the song itself really inspired me. So you hear my tone of voice there, because I was really, it just soothed me. It felt very calm, you know. The whole piece and the music just calmed me enough to get into that mood, you know, that type of mood.
I sensed it a lot. But there are just like certain lines like that you bring out, like the emerald green or the month of June, it trembles like a butterfly, or that summer is the voice of nature, and you bring out the gardens and the winds of the echoes of hope. That's the other thing too, is I feel like your way you read it and the way that the words floated almost seemed like it flowed like the wind pretty much.
I appreciate that.
Gorgeous. All of it is.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Seth. I appreciate that, Christopher.
Let me get a comment from Lady A.
Well, I thought it was quite beautiful, and your voice, the voice that you used on the SoundCloud was quite interesting, and there was an urgency I felt in it anyways, and I think that this was starting out, if a June night could talk, it would probably boast its invented romance, you know, and then it just went on from there, and the descriptions of, you know, the fruits, you know, the cherries, and there's perhaps a bit of a metaphor with the juicy fruits, I'm not sure, plentitude of the harvest, but I think this is beautiful, and transience of the glow of the moon and the ebony shade of the universe, the kissing dew of lovers, the adventure of the joy of the passing days. You know, it was very romantic, and I loved how you ended this piece too. I just love this too. Sleep under the covers of the clouds and the music of the strings of a violin, to awaken together in the morning beside petals drenched with the rain fallen, as we open our eyes staring at each other. Summer is the face of love, not a stranger of winter. Your repetition of that last couplet was quite moving and quite unique. I just thought it was a very beautiful piece. And made summer come out. Because I equate summer with love as well. I didn't put that in my poem, but, you know, it was, you know, every summer, like when growing up, there was, you know, people to meet young, especially when you're a young person, you fall in love every summer. You meet some boy or girl, you know, that summer love was everything. And it was really beautiful. I loved it.
I appreciate that. What more of a inspiration can you have than summer? You know, if it's one of my favorites, although people complain of the heat, it is one of my favorite seasons there. And it's one that I've really appreciated because it's allowed me to appreciate many facades of its beauty.
Yeah. And you have so much jam-packed into this, you know. I think that this, I don't know, there's something special about, it's in the air. It's in the air. I find the love is in the air. And I don't know if it's because, you know, we don't have the great big heavy coats on and the boots and all the rest of it. It's all drab and ugly looking, but there's just something about the summer and that is so much more enticing, I think.
Indeed. I do agree with that. Crystal, I'm going to have to run now. Can you hear me?
Okay, I'm going to get Hatter to comment on your poem real quick.
That works. Yeah, real quick. I spent a lot of time on a farm when I was young. I mean, half of my childhood was spent on a farm. The hotter it got, the more fresh fruit, the more fresh food was available to you. I remember that quite well. The end of the growing season, the fall and winter, brought on the greens, the deep greens, the moss on the trees, and the green grass. That's why green is my favorite color. Those are the colors that I enjoy or remember the most. But yeah, the way you described the fresh fruit was there's not many things that you write, Frank, that I can't relate something personally to. and I appreciate that. This is another one.
I do agree.
Well written. Yeah.
There's one thing I appreciate really quick as a child, and I still do that now, are fruits. I love just about every fruit. I think there isn't a fruit that I will not eat. I grew up eating, going to parks and doing picnics there with my family there.
Yeah.
And fruits was always, you know, was always the center of our, you know, of our adventures there when we went out and, you know, to enjoy nature. So that is truly, it's always going to be with me there. So if you really want to get to know me as a person, you invite me. Just make sure you've got some fruits for me, and I'm there. All right, my friend.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of fruits, I've got to go head off to the fridge for a bit before I stop over there for a bit over there with Stephen K for a bit and then call it the night.
All right.
Take care, Crystal. Take care, Lady A.
Thanks, Dan.
Always, my friend. Take care. Pleasure.
What I've got next is I've got Stephen's poem on there, which I have a SoundCloud for. Then we're going to read Heavenly Angels and then mine and then end the show. So let me go ahead and grab Stephen's SoundCloud and find it. Here we go.
4th of July is of my youth, by Stephen 76. A summer family get together. The air is hot and humid. The beer does flow with cabbage rolls, sloppy joes and hot dogs included. Party then a parade in the afternoon, festival by the lake. French fries drenched in vinegar as stars begin to awake. Festive fireworks on the beach, independence rightly remembered. Humidity gives way to cool night breeze, blowing the floating glowing embers. Walk back home knowing everyone in my Mayberry-like tiny harbor town. My family out on fire pit patio. Not one does wear a frown. Aunts and uncles and grandparents all there for family fun. Fireflies lighting in backyard, causing young cousins to run. My whole family from both sides would gather every 4th of July in my youth. But now most of them have passed away as I grow long in tooth. I miss those nights, my father's laugh, my Aunt Bee's impish grin. Grandma mispronouncing my name and saying I was too thin. Time is what took them away from me. I think about them much. Smiling mostly, but sometimes with weeps. God, I miss them all a bunch. Things now are simpler, gathering small. Give my arm to see them again. But I'll sit with my wife. We are happy with life. Just sometimes remember when. End poem.
I love that ending of him talking about sitting with Kay and stuff like that. Happy with life, sometimes you remember when. And you can't help but do that, think back to the time that there once was. But I love what he brings here, though, about the whole 4th of July and spending with family and stuff like that, and remembering all those memories that you had when you were younger. And I love that he brings out about the hot and humid air and the hot dogs and the cabbage rolls and stuff like that. And, I remember going out to the beach or something like that and just sitting out with his grandparents or his cousin or some or his cousins or something like that. And it is like a very touching, like beautiful story as you read along and stuff. And I really enjoyed this from him. And it's like I don't even know how to explain everything or the way that I feel about this, but I just find it to be really sweet and touching and moving and everything. Pat, are you want to give a comment?
Yeah, I come from a huge family. I think we counted one time I have over 50 cousins. When we would get together at was quite the extravaganza, and we would always have fun. And like he, saddest part was how he put that the aunts and the uncles are all gone now, and the cousins have moved away, and it's just only a memory now, and it's bittersweet. But he said it well. I like the way he read it.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking, bittersweet. That's what I way I would describe it, bittersweet. Good comment, Heather. And Lady A, you want to comment?
Sure. Hang on a second. I'm starting to fall asleep. Sorry about that. Yeah, Stephen's got a, you know, I like this poem because he's telling a story, and you know, the fairground picture is, you know, like every summer we used to have a thing. It would be the Bill Lynch show that would come to our community, and it was a carnival with the rides and all of that. And that this poem reminded me of that. But it also was, you know, the reverie that he's expressing here about, you know, missing the people that are gone. I miss those nights, my father's laugh, my aunt B's impish grin, grandma mispronouncing my name and saying I was too thin. You know, it was very real. This is very real and authentic, and I thought it was a great piece, and very much everybody can relate to it, you know, those get-togethers, and which are, you know, some disappear because of divorce. I know all of my get-togethers with family members were with my ex-husband's family, and I don't have it any longer. My in-laws now both are passed away, but I think that this, it reminded me of a lot of good things, and to me, thankful for what I did have, and you know, it was a really great piece.
Wonderful comment, Lady A. And I have Heavenly Angels left, and then I have mine. Lady A, do you think you could read for Heavenly Angel?
Sure. The Last Summer by Heavenly Angel. Walking along the shore, foaming waves crashing along the beach. Salted tears cascade down my cheeks as memories flood my heart in churning tides. I relive that last summer we spent together. We used to walk along the seaside landscape, picking up stray conch shells, listening to the seagulls' songs, collecting driftwood for romantic bonfires as the sun sank in hues of tangerine and lavender. Cuddled into each other's arms, we made love on the cashmere sand, hidden in our private oasis just beyond the dunes, moonlight shining in fingers of silvery strands. Oh, I used to love lying with you, feeling the ocean breeze's gentle kiss. The summer ended. We promised to meet here again, special oaths spoken in the heat of the moment from hearts full of youthful passions and dreams. I remember that last kiss you gave me. Remember waving goodbye as I watched you get into your car, your eyes gazing into mine one last time. I remember hearing the sounds of the metal crunching, of the breaking of glass and the screech of tires as they slid off the road and down the embankment of the Shoreline Drive. I remember thinking you couldn't leave me this way. Not now. I come here at the start of every summer, reliving those special times with you, hoping in vain to catch a glimpse of you standing by the aquamarine water, smiling in welcome as you catch my eye. All I have left to me now is to retrace our footsteps in the sand. End poem. Wow.
I am used to her doing her romantic poetry, and I know sometimes she does write sad ones, but this one to me, it's just full of sadness. I mean, I kind of wondered it when it was just keep going about in past tense, and I was like, but I wasn't quite sure where exactly it would go. But her description of when she whenever that one last kiss and then got in the car, and then just remember hearing the sounds of the little the French and the breaking of glass, I just was breaking my heart hearing that part. But yeah, I love the ending she does too of "All I Have Left Now Is to Retrace Our Footsteps in the Sand." And sometimes it's all you can do is just go back and remember. Can't live necessarily on that memory, but just to go back to that when everything was just perfect together in the sand, that one last kiss and everything. And just, to me, it's just absolutely beautiful. And I also love her description, too, about, like, the cockshells and the seagull songs and the driftwood for the bonfires and everything. And just, it is just beautiful and very sad at the same time.
I find that her writing has changed somewhat, though. Like, this is more like a prose. And I really actually quite like how she, the last few pieces that submitted seems to, there's just a change in style or something in the way she writes. I like this new part of her. So I don't know if anybody else has noticed that or not, but I find that this is a beautiful piece and shows a diverse direction that she's going with her writing. Her style has changed. It's a pleasure. Like, I mean, she always wrote great love poetry before, but there seems to be like more depth to this or something. There's something different about her writing, and I really like it.
Yeah, I was noticing it was a bit different too. Like it is something I have seen her write a little bit before, but I think it's been a while. But yeah, this. You know, this one was 10 months ago, but I think that she has been writing a bit different here and there every once in a while, which I like to see when people kind of branch out of their like, this is branching out of her comfort zone when it comes to the different type of writing, but also it's sticking to something that she often write about as well. So, it's beautiful. Hatter, you want to make a comment?
Yeah, she ran called him Wildfire, huh? She's a true poet. She knows how to story tell in a poetic verse. I like the part about the, we said the summer oath spoken. That was a good addition to it. But yeah, she does really well telling the story poetically.
Like, she always does that too. Writes a really good story, especially when it comes to a love story. Yeah. Let's see. Okay. So, like I said, I have mine left. I believe I do. Yeah, I got them all. I have mine left. And then we'll end the show on mine. I guess before I'll go ahead and read mine, I'll do the announcements and stuff. So I do know that A Poetic Slice of Life is doing their movement of sound right now. I think it's until like 12 or 1 or something like that. But I do know they're on right now. They are doing the band Cheap Trick, which I didn't know they were doing that. Now I want to go over there. And because my dad often had that band playing when we would go on car rides. So now I definitely want to go check that out. But to anybody else after listening to this or being on here, so wants to go head over there, you can. Trying to figure out whose show is tomorrow. We have one. Oh, tomorrow is Tic Tac or Tic Mac Poe. I'm not quite sure who is playing, but I do know that's going on. And then
playing with Wayne.
You're playing with Wayne?
Yeah.
Is that what you said? Okay. So it's Lady A versus Wayne. Okay. That should be interesting. but yeah, that's for tomorrow's Tic-Mac-Po. And then Hatter, do you want to tell us about Hatter Day Saturday? Do I still have Hatter?
Okay, yes, yes. I'm unmuted. I'm unmuted. Yeah, I tried something different. I took one of my pieces, 10 Shades of Grey, a can of 10 Shades of Grey, and had invited anybody to write a last verse to it or what inspires you of it. Try something different. I enjoy the format. I always wondered what everybody else got from it, and hopefully we'll see.
Sounds
on Saturday.
Cool. All right. Yeah, we got. Yep, we got those next few shows for tomorrow and Saturday. And like I said, Kay and Stevens is going on right now. But yeah, I think that's it for announcements. Let me go ahead and post my poem, and then we'll end the show. All right. Mine is called Chasing Butterflies. Summertime ballet pranced on her feet, awakening the buttercup meadows, slender nose swirling in a book while butterflies hover hello. Bent fingertips flutter, humming in unison on our heartstrings. Honey bumblebees, sunset waves, chirping pretty on apricot wings. Chasing butterflies on cotton rose fields, embracing the window of memorial childhood. Barefoot sandy toes digging in the weeded dirt, cradling against an apple tree of hardwood. Chasing daylight into the brisk tones of cantaloupe and salmon, sunset skies. Palmy breezes brushing back the strands of fluttering freelance butterflies and foam. I didn't realize how much more of a tongue twister that was going to be if I read it aloud. but I got through it. Yeah.
Katie, hey, what'd you think?
Okay, I'll tell you what I
wrote that over from you.
I'm
there. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I love how you write, Crystal, and I love how it starts. Summertime ballet prance on her feet. You know, you talk about everything that's lovely in the summer. You know, I think about the buttercups. And I remember picking buttercups and doing the do you like butter and putting the flowers under your chin and that sort of thing. And I thought the whole thing was really happy and cheerful. And you talk about chasing the butterflies on cotton rose fields and embracing the window of memorial childhood. That was a great line as well. Chasing butterflies, chasing the daylight. The chasing daylight into the brisk tones of cantaloupe and salmon sunset skies. Balmy breezes brushing back the strands of fluttering freelance butterflies. I thought you did a terrific job with the alliteration in this whole piece, especially that last verse. It was really a very happy poem, and brought back some memories of those flowers that and butterflies that I remember as a kid. You know, it was a lovely little piece. Great job.
Thank you, Lady A. And you know,
yeah,
I just sorry, go ahead, Heather.
Go ahead, Kristen. Oh, okay, well, I agree with Lady A. You ended it beautifully, the last verse of it. And it's a warm fuzzy, our Hallmark card. It flowed really well, and I especially like the freelance, fluttering freelance butterfly. That's unique, and I like it. Very good.
Thank you, Hatter. No, I was saying, I just
welcome.
Noticed something. I was trying to find a poem that I hadn't read on the show before, and something, of course, having to do with my topic. And I picked this one, but I didn't pay attention to when I wrote it. But according to here, it says that I wrote it a year ago, almost literally. I wrote it on June 16th of last year, which would have been yesterday, would have made it a year. Anything like that.
Wow.
So that's pretty interesting. I didn't know I did that. Well, works for the show.
That's good.
Everything. Yeah. But, yeah, that's all. I really, really enjoyed all of these and stuff like that. Summer is not usually one of my favorite times of year because I don't really like the heat and stuff, but I will say there was something magical about it, and especially everybody bringing stories of childhood and stuff and stories of their lives and or things like that, and I enjoy hearing those kind of things. So I really enjoyed but I did. I really enjoyed the show and all the people and stuff like that. Thank you to everybody who did something. And thank you, Frank, Lady A, Hatter, Deb, and everybody who called. And everybody, like I said, who submitted a poem. It means a lot because I really do miss you guys. And I love at least doing a show once a month. So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for the memories.
Oh, it was really a lovely show. It was a great job. Great to hear you back again, too.
Thank you. And like I said, check out the shows for tomorrow and today and Saturday. The show's coming. And, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and hit.
When's your next
and
show?
When's
what
your
was next
that?
Show, Crystal? When's your next show?
According to the schedule, it's like July 7th, I believe. I'm not quite sure. I might try to do another one. If I can, I can try and do another one this month. I may try. I don't know. But for right now, it's the first Thursday of July. So.
Yeah, your shows are always enjoyable.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to go over and check out Poetic Slices of Life podcast for stuff. So,
Alrighty.
All right. Well, it was great having you back again, and I enjoyed the show very much. Thank you very much.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Everybody.
Good night,
everyone.
Good night. Thanks.